I'd like to thank Greg Gussie for starting this show 10 weeks ago and hope that we can carry it on in his honor. Thank you.
My name is Sherry Kroll Jackson, and I am a lifelong Alaskan. I grew up in Juneau with a large family, went to school, met my husband, and have three grown children. I started my career out in the travel industry and have had many occupations, including being the current director of the Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry. I have been there since 2009, and I'd like to tell everyone there that I have learned something or find something new every day. Doing the radio show is my something new today. I've never done one before, but I look forward to learning and experiencing about our artist in the valley along with you. So learning is a big element in my life, and that was one reason I decided to do our show, to put out there so that you can learn and support art in the valley. I'm a dabbling artist. I dabble in all sorts of mediums, fiber, paint, jewelry, etc. I have a loom in one corner and a paintbrush and easel in the other. My intent of our show of Art in the Valley is to bring forth other artists and let them share with us on how they evolved into who and what they are today, in addition to enlighten us on what's going on in our valley that involves art. Art encompasses so many elements, and I think I can go on with this show forever. So let's get started with our guest and see where it takes us on our journey. I hope you will like what we have put together this week. Okay, well, I'd like to introduce Nan Potts, and thank you for coming into our show today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Sherry. Thank you for inviting me today.
Okay. Well, Nan, I know that you're well known around the valley, but maybe you could share some information with us. Give us a little background and of how you got started in your many, many aspects of art.
Oh, many aspects of art. Well, I've always been interested in art in general, primarily painting and drawing. And I started at a very early age. And growing up in California, I can remember going through art classes and that type of thing. And one particular class I remember was in high school, freshman high school. I was so excited about producing art and painting. And my instructor had us do these, what I consider off-the-wall abstracts. Almost ruined me. I just couldn't see it. I was more into realism. So college comes along, and I get into a drawing class. Oh, I loved it. I loved it, but I was an insecure freshman. And when my instructor approached me, I was so intimidated by him, I quit my art.
No.
Altogether, yes. Oh, it was. I was so insecure at that time. So anyhow, I didn't do art for a long time. And I was just trying to think, when did I really get back into art? I guess it was after I had done a few little projects while my kids were growing up. You know, you do things
right.
For your kids. And so I dabbled in it. But it wasn't until I actually moved up here to Alaska when I rediscovered it. And I literally stumbled across the Valley Arts Alliance and became very involved with the organization. I became vice president, was vice president for about 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then I decided, well, you know, I like to get out and hike and bike and do a lot of physical activities as well as art. And I just kind of have been dispersed in many different areas, but managed to find time to do some art and writing.
That's just awesome. Isn't it great how Alaska can bring that artist out in you?
It's one of those unique places that really inspires the artist.
That's true. Very true. Well, I'm so pleased that you're here today, and you're going to share some of your poetry with us. Correct?
Well, if you wish, I'd be happy to. I do have to give you a little background on the poetry. Now, I remember writing poetry in elementary school, in high school, and that's it.
Oh.
But it wasn't until I first moved here to Alaska. I'd been here about 6 months, and I had gotten involved with a very small writers group over in Wasilla. And there were writers from all genres. And one gal in particular was and is an excellent poet. And Elizabeth Thompson, who is, she's in Anchorage, and she's well known in the valley here, and she does some marvelous poetry. Well, she actually inspired me.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my poetry I don't take seriously, even though I'm a serious writer, because I try to create at least one poem a month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but with all my other activities, I'm doing well.
Yes, you are.
But I'm inspired. She inspired me, but I don't take myself seriously, and I can't take my poetry seriously, so I have fun with it.
Well, I always enjoy your poetry because there is that bit of humor.
Oh, I think we need humor nowadays. There's just, I think everyone's taking everything too seriously, and you have to step back and kind of look at a bigger picture and find the humor.
Yes, I enjoy humor every day of my life, so yes.
Oh, good. Me too.
Good. Well, go ahead.
Well, okay. Let's see here. I've got one popped up on my little iPad here. This little poem I wrote last month, actually. It was in Magazine Magazine.
Oh, great.
And it is entitled, To Build a Cabin. Land is chosen, then is tiered. Make certain that the title's cleared. Trees are felled, used to construct. You'll build this thing with any luck. You labor hard with skill and craft to build a cabin you'll not graft. Attention from most city folks, to them it's simply just a hoax. To build a dream in yonder hills, they fathom not. It's not for thrills. To live in nature's wilderness gives such peace and happiness, which each of us strives to achieve, create, and live a life we weave. Resounding saws and hammers fell, raised from ground, a wooden shell. Then occupied and lights were lit. Why ask now if I've permit?
Oh, thank you. That's great.
Well, I think a lot of people can relate to that, not only here in Alaska, but in other areas of the country.
Well, yes, but I think it would be foreign to some others, too.
Most definitely. But one of the things I find when writing poetry, there are times when, you know, you're inspired and mm-hmm. The words just come. And then for me, like I said, I'm making a goal of writing at least one poem a month. And when that deadline comes close, it's like, what am I going to write? What am I going to write? What's going to inspire me? And then I look around and spot one object or a situation or whatever it might be, and then I think, okay, how can I create on this?
That's great. That's just awesome. So Nan, do you have any upcoming poems being published or contest or what's upcoming in your life here?
Well. Oh, that's a broad question. I'll stick to poetry.
With you, I know. But
I'll stick to poetry. I have one in the works for Magazine. That's my monthly poem. There is a contest. I belong to Alaska Writers Guild in Anchorage, and they have a contest for the month of June. That has a theme of humor, and it's limited to 1,000 words. And I have so many funny, to me, ideas. However, the goal is to make the judges laugh. And so what's funny to me might not be funny to the judges. So I've been a little bit on the procrastinating side because I want to make sure I capture the judge's attention. So that's what's upcoming, some writing. And also, I'm very active physically outdoors. When the sun's shining, the birds are singing, and so am I. So that's, I'm out there.
That's a great way to be. So, okay, Nan, so where did you go to college?
Well, I actually went to college at the University of Washington, Seattle. And so I'm a Husky alumni.
Oh, nice.
And, yes, I've actually been migrating up the coast. I was born and raised in Southern California. And my family moved to a little town called Snohomish, Washington, which I know some of you know because mm-hmm. I've run into you folks, back in the late 60s. I'm really dating myself. I love it. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, and just have been migrating up the coast with a couple of detours to Kansas. My husband's a pilot, so we have been doing a little traveling here and there as far as his job goes.
Right.
And, yeah, the University of Washington was a wonderful experience. The first year, you know how freshmen are.
Yes,
it's kind of rough.
Yes, I remember that first year. Never want to repeat it.
That's right.
I don't regret it at all.
Oh, not at all. It was a wonderful experience. And shortly after college, I met my husband, and we have taken a lot of circuitous routes and have ended up here in Alaska.
Well, that's great. Well, we love that you're here.
Well, thank you. Me too.
So, Nan, I understand you've got another poem selection that you'd like to read to us today, so go right ahead.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we were chatting about... We were talking about inspirations, where to find things. Well, sometimes you find your inspiration in the most unlikely places. There's a little backstory to this little poem. It's called The Velveteen Rabbit. Well, here in the valley this past fall, the Velveteen Rabbit was put on by the Valley Performing Arts. Wonderful performance. And it was a little windy the day that I went with my friends. And as we departed, on the marquee, the wind had blown off the letter T for rabbit, which left, as you guess, the Velveteen Rabbi. So this is entitled The Velveteen Rabbit with the T in parentheses. There once was a rabbit of velveteen who had a young master on which he was keen. He was taken to parties and places unseen by himself and young master. 'Twas something to glean. There then came a day which may have had where boys and their rabbits part ways, which is sad. Young master grew older, now a man, not a lad, and he put away rabbit, which had long been a fad. Rabbit ceased seeing his master that day, but the rabbit aged, too, in a most different way. He became frayed and torn long past his heyday, that he began to lose hope of his days, oh, so gay. Yet rabbit relinquished to go on his way and made a tough call that he couldn't delay. Since master has left me, he was heard then to say, I better decide what to do, not decay. So he traveled the world as a soul-searching rabbit. He'd gain freedom and knowledge. For himself, he would nab it. And seeking sound guidance to shed his old habit of relying on humans for love, he had had it. This quest he was on amazed many folks. They believed what they saw to them was a hoax. And they laughed, they guffawed, and even told jokes. But rabbit ne'er wavered, though no one helped coax. Then one fateful day his true destiny shined. The awe he inspired had touched all mankind. There were many who saw him and looked on to find the peace they had sought and revered him in kind. It was just at that moment he then said, goodbye, to his old way of life and embraced with a sigh a position of power, helping those far and nigh, for he just dropped the T and became a rabbi.
That's great. Thank you.
You just never know where you're going to find these things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome that you were able to find that inspiration.
That's right.
Thank you, Nan, for coming in today. Really appreciate you taking the time out to come in and talk with us and share your story. And well, I hope you'll come back again.
Well, thank you. And you're very welcome. And I again, thank you again for inviting me. And if there are any other opportunities that I can read my silly poetry, I'd be happy to join you.
Oh, would love it. Thank you again.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're with our Art in the Valley segment of the radio state show tonight. We have Danica Joy Hopper.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, what kind of art do you do?
Right now, I'm doing paintings that are a combination of spray paint, ice, snow, salt water, and gun oil.
Okay.
So a variety of things, but wow. My medium is spray paint.
Well, great. Well, what made you start doing that with all those different elements?
I was actually searching to do a painting for a close friend of mine that moved away to Korea to try and find a way to put Alaska into a painting to take with her because she won't be coming back. She'll be staying in Korea. And she lived her whole life. So over Christmas, I tried all kinds of different things of sloshing snow on things with different kinds of paint and eventually came up with a painting that she really liked, and when she shared it to her friends, it just kind of took off from there.
Oh, great. Well, let's take a step back and ask you, where are you from and what brought you to Alaska?
Originally, I was born in Florida, but I've moved around. I was in a military family. My dad was in the Air Force, so we've moved from Hawaii to Illinois to Oklahoma, Texas, all over the place. And so I don't call myself a hometown of any sort of place. I don't really have a hometown. So, but I consider myself Alaskan.
What brought you to Alaska?
I actually moved here about 11 years ago. I came up to Ketchikan and, started running the bird center there. I work with wildlife. That's pretty much what I've done my whole life. And then got the bug. I've always had a bug to run the Iditarod, so I moved up here to get closer to be able to get a dog team and start preparing to run the Iditarod. So that's kind of why I made it up this far.
Well, great. Great. Well, we love for you to be here in the Valley because we like to have creative people here.
Yeah, I love it here. Well, I really love it here.
Good. And so you live out in Big Lake,
mm-hmm.
and you have a art studio.
Yes. Well, it's a small carport turned art studio,
right, okay.
But eventually we'll expand probably and make a real art studio.
And the name of that is?
The Arctic Squid.
Okay. And do you sell your work or do you
Yeah, actually,
have
I had not sold my work until January of this year, but since then it's sort of really taken off. I'm busier than I ever planned on being. So yeah, I do custom pieces, I do commissions, and I do a lot of my own stuff that pretty much sells as soon as the canvas is dry. So a lot of people are a little bit frustrated that they can't get some of my pieces, but I do commissions. So,
and do you have any upcoming shows?
I do have my very first art opening in Anchorage at Chilkoot Charlie's. That will be June 19th from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock p.m. And it's also a benefit for the Alaska SPCA Spay and Neuter Program.
Great. Oh, you're really busy.
So, yeah.
tell us about your social media successes here recently.
I'm not exactly sure how it took off quite so fast. I just started a small page. I was a poor, starving artist, and I decided that Facebook was a free way to try and get my art out there, at least in the community. And it's grown in the past month, it's grown by 1,000 likes. So it's been kind of amazing that it's grown so quickly. And on top of that, I've been starting some community programs or just community events, I guess, where we do art jams. And that kind of grew my page, grew in popularity as well. And then I also do Free Art Fridays now. So the second Sunday of every month, we do an art jam at the Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry. So that's every second Saturday. And then we also, every Friday, do a Free Art Friday, which we were calling Matsu Free Art Friday, but several minutes ago we expanded to Alaska Free Art Friday. So throughout Alaska, artists are donating pieces that they've made, any kind of art, and hiding it somewhere, and then posting clues on our Facebook page of how to find it. And if you find it, you get to keep it or give it to a friend or whatever you want to do with it. So it's a pretty cool event, way to get everyone to connect with art in the community.
Well, I'm so excited. You're one of my first guests on the show.
This is really cool.
And it's so informative of all these things that are going on. I know that's how we connected was through Facebook.
Yep.
So I encourage everyone to check out Danica's page. It's the Arctic Squid. And also, she's also the administrator for Art Jam.
Right.
And
the Art Jam and, well, now it will be Alaska Free Art Friday.
Okay.
And then I'm also an admin on the Matsu Artist Gathering page, which is sort of a central, it was one of the beginning places that I found all the other artists in the community. So that's a good page to join as well.
Okay. Well, I, back to your art work, one piece that I saw last week was of a fireman, and it was just incredible. It just was so intense with the colors were so vibrant, and it was a fireman and looking as though they were fighting a fire, and it was just,
yeah, those are some of my favorite pieces. I have done a lot of things in my life. I've really traveled the gamut in things that I've done for as a career, but one of the things I did 2 years ago was I became a firefighter locally, and that's actually how I met my husband. So those paintings are actually really, really special to me. He took me on my first fire. We did a lot of dangerous things, but we did a lot of we did work to help our community, and it was an amazing experience. So I paint those paintings sort of as a tribute to all my firefighter brothers and sisters out there.
Well, I know that the person who purchased that painting was giving it as a gift to another firefighter.
Right, so
that's just awesome that it journeys on. So
yeah, and those paintings are actually made with fire. I use the spray paint, and then I do set it on fire to cause that ripple effect and make it look like flames. So
that's great. Well, thank you. Was there anything else that you wanted to add to?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in. Please, everyone, take note that there is Art Jam on second Sundays at the Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry. That is in Wasilla at mile 47 on the Parks Highway.
And it's a free, family-friendly event.
Yes, it is free. You just bring your art supplies, bring something you would like to put on the grill, and have fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's from 12 to 5, so we'd like to see you there. Well, Danica, since we met on Facebook, explain to me a little bit about your past of being an alligator wrestler.
It's actually in my bio on my page. When I had first gotten out of high school, I was sort of an adrenaline junkie, and I love animals. I especially love the misunderstood animals like reptiles. So I sort of fibbed to a zoo director and told her that I knew exactly how to handle venomous snakes and alligators, even though I was 18. And she kind of looked at me and decided that maybe I was smart enough to actually come work at the zoo. So she gave me a chance and hired me and taught me basically everything she knew. And so I actually learned how to wrestle alligators and crocodiles and teach educational programs to children. All while wearing a skirt and flip-flops, which was pretty hilarious.
Well, great. Well, obviously you won because you're sitting here in the studio
with me
today.
Yes, but I have all my fingers and toes.
And you have all your fingers and toes, so you're good. So,
yep.
So, well, let's also expand on your story about how you met your husband and being a firefighter.
I became a firefighter while working as a veterinary technician full-time. And after I got out of basic, I got assigned to Station 7-2 in Meadow Lakes. And the day that I got there, I was paired up with Adam Hopper, who was showing me the ropes, just showing me how to handle the hoses and just kind of everything we needed to do. And he took me to my first fire, and we basically have never been apart since then. He just caught my eye, and we've been living together ever since. So.
Well, that's a fantastic story. Well, also, I've seen on Facebook where you two enjoy fishing and and being outdoors quite a bit.
We're best friends. We're fishing buddies and hunting buddies. We do everything together. It's great. Really neat.
Well, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to welcome Josh Freifogel to our show this evening. Josh, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit of your history, just a little bio.
Well,
because I know you're a local institution, but some people may not be that familiar.
That is some kind words, Sherry. I really appreciate it. I moved up here about 12 or 13 years ago. And decided to reinvent myself from a drug-addled teen with a bad past to a decent human being. And I tried to do that through music primarily in the beginning with my own music. And that led me to, I really had a do-it-yourself type of attitude about music. So I really wanted to promote my own music. And then I realized, wow, I'm good at this. I should try to do the same for other musicians and get them involved in sort of a self-promotion marketing thing. And eventually that led me into marketing and advertising, and now I run a newspaper.
And a very good newspaper at that, I might add.
Thank you very much.
And I think you're very successful in your goal there. You are a wonderful musician and outstanding citizen of the community. So,
thank you.
So, where were you born?
Mississippi, in a town called Pascagoula.
Pascagoula.
Yeah, but I grew up in two towns. I grew up in Wiggins, Mississippi, and Loosedale, Mississippi.
Okay. Well, so every once in a while you may hear a little southern twang come from me because it kind of sucks in on you.
Yeah, it's addictive.
And then you'll hear my Texas origins here come out. But, cool. I'm glad that us Southerners are here.
We're invading Alaska. We're invading the North.
Yeah. But, it's where we're meant to be. It's beautiful here.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so who mostly influenced you to into your music?
Well, musically, I was just raised in a household where there was always music. My dad was always playing music, and to this day, if you go to my dad's house, there's music playing. And he tells me that when I was a kid, he would put two hi-fi speakers by my head on either side, and he would play Pure Prairie League.
Okay.
The song Amy and stuff like that. So he really immersed me in music. And then I never really got into playing music until I heard Led Zeppelin and the Eagles, and I really liked the lead guitar work in Hotel California. I thought that was amazing. So I started plucking and twanging, as my grandpa used to call it. And so I guess my dad and his era of music was my primary influence.
Okay. Do you play by ear?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have a son that plays by ear. It's just amazing to me how he can just pick any instrument up and play. So.
Yeah, those multi-instrumentalists are really impressive. I'm pretty much a guitar player and a singer, but I've met some musicians who just have this innate ability to play anything.
Yeah. So, well, I hope that we can introduce some more musicians out here in the Valley on our radio show. So tell us, do you have any upcoming events that we can hear you play?
Well, I haven't played music in a while because just life changes. I'm really focused on being a dad and running my business, and I've shifted my schedule. I've tried in the last couple of years to be very ritualized about what I do on a day-to-day basis, and I found that if I was going to achieve everything that I wanted to achieve in the practical world, then music just didn't quite fit in there anymore. So I'm on a hiatus.
Okay, but you'll let us know as soon as you decide to step up on that stage again.
Oh, of course, yeah, and I'm sure I will in the future. I mean, it's not something I've given up on. I'm still being creative, and I'm writing a lot of poetry and taking a lot of photos and writing a lot of prose, and I still find a creative outlet wherever I can. It's just music is such an indulgent thing.
Okay.
You really have to dive in.
Well, will you share a poem or a prose with us tonight?
I would love to.
That would be great.
Let me pick one out here.
Well, while you're picking out, where are your boys at tonight?
They are staying with a friend.
Okay.
Oh, and which was very advantageous for this because I did not plan it. I didn't have a plan, so it just worked out. Otherwise, they would have been right here with me.
Well, they're always welcome.
Let's see. What I do is I get up, and my ritual is I go to the gym in the morning, and I get on the Stairmaster, and then I write poetry while my body is distracted with the pain of the process. I try to get into my creative space. So this poem I call Free Hand, and it goes like this. Free my hands and let me chip away the stone that has me captured. Inside this mountain of solidified light, a soul needs a fracture. Refracting, fingers feeling, cracking, I am the artist and the art. Weakness is hard as stone and rock, a quarried block torn apart. Light will shine from new stone set free, refracting from its darkness. Slowly, so slowly it is revealed, chipping away at the artist. Shards of ego, gravel ground around, pieces of some broken man, parts of me go falling free, brushed aside by my own hand.
That's amazing. Good job.
I felt pretty good about that one.
Yes, very good. Thank you. So where can we find your works? Tell me where you print it.
Publish
it.
Well, I've published a couple in my own paper.
Well, that's right. So let's hear about your paper.
So, and I've always had a soft spot for poetry. Long before I ever got into writing music or anything, I wrote poetry. I still remember winning a poetry contest in grade school, and that was kind of a landmark moment for me. I'm sure for the teachers it was just a thing they did, but for me it was really a turning point when I realized I had a way with words.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and so my plan in the future, I'm going to continue to write. I've got this muse of poetry right now, so I'm going to continue on that path as long as I can, and then I would like to put out some sort of small booklet or something.
Great.
Well, I think I'm going to give it away. I don't think I'm going to sell it because I don't know. I don't know. It's still forming in my mind what I want to do with it.
Well, be sure and let us know on the show when you have that published.
I will
share. We can all grab a copy. But tell us more about the newspaper and how that got started.
Well, it really evolved out of self-promotion, shameless self-promotion as a musician. And I realized as I was promoting my own music and the music of others that people didn't realize that the reason they know about certain music is because there's so much money spent to make them aware of it. And I realized that marketing was a huge part of success for any artist, including musicians. So I started looking into how I might go in that path instead of waiting. You know, the typical musician attitude is to wait to be discovered and to get a deal. And there's all these phrases associated with being a musician, sign a record contract, and all these things. But people, when you really read about those things, that they're not nearly as glamorous as you might think. It's getting a deal is it's like going to a bank and borrowing money at interest, except the bank tells you how to spend it. And becoming famous, that's just a word we've attached to to how much marketing dollars have been spent on making someone aware of a brand or an artist. So I started with my own recording, a CD I did a long time ago, and I promoted that with posters all over the valley. And then I got invited to write a music column for the Frontiersman, and I did that for a few years. And then I decided, you know what? It would be really cool to put out something that was just about local music. And that's how Make a Scene started, Make a Scene magazine. And again, you hear in the title, Make a Scene. It's all about doing it yourself, making it happen, instead of waiting for it to happen. So then that continued to grow and evolve while I continued to pursue music and teaching guitar lessons, and I ran a venue for a while. But eventually, life circumstance led to making a decision about what career I wanted, and so I decided to stick with Make a Scene and let the other financial pursuits fall away. So most recently, that has really grown. We just put out our 8-year anniversary edition, so we're starting our 9th year.
Yes, congratulations on that.
That's pretty awesome.
I know that when I started at the museum back in 2009, I was told, you've got to meet this guy, Josh Freifogel, and you've got to, you know, get in his newspaper. So
that's cool.
And I was told that, you know, you were quite impressive, and you still are to this day. So.
Well, thank you very much. Well, and most recently, it's kind of grown another step with the People's Paper section.
Right.
Which they're both distributed together. But the People's Paper, I noticed after the last couple of years with Make a Scene, the idea behind Make a Scene, the free press, actually engaging in the First Amendment. When you talk to people about that, even in the context of music and art, as I was with Make a Scene, what you find is that message really resonates with any American because it's kind of built into our...
That's true.
We're taught from a very early age that that's part of our freedoms. Mm-hmm. So I started getting submissions from people that had nothing to do with the arts. And I would put those in the back of Make a Scene, on the black and white pages. I'd squeeze it in. There would be no pictures, no real production value to it. I'd just put it in there. And because I was getting it, it was of interest, and my philosophy was if someone cares enough to write it, then other people will care enough to read it. Just makes sense. So after a couple of years of that, I realized that was my growing area of content submissions. And so I split that off into the People's Paper to create an avenue and a brand that was more fitting to a general audience, general readership. And that has really taken off quicker than I could have imagined.
Yeah, it's a great, great venue there for that.
I love the idea that I get to publish things that I disagree with.
There you go.
Makes me feel very American.
Right. Well, and what more can, you know, what more would you want?
Right, right.
Well, thank you for coming in today. I really appreciate you being here for us. This is our first show for me, taking over for Greg.
You're doing good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And look forward to having you on again so
awesome.
We can perhaps maybe get you to talk you into picking up your guitar one more time.
It's bound to happen.
All right. Good evening, and thank you for coming in today, Victoria. Victoria Peterson is an artist, and we're going to ask her a few questions about what inspires her and but first, give us a little bit of your background.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. My background, let's see. I have always loved art since I was a little girl. My grandmother was an artist, Ruth Miller. And I didn't really come out into the community as an artist until about 2009, where I taught art classes for preschoolers when I managed a birthday party place called Happy Hoppers. At that point, I thought, I can do this. This is what I want to do.
Right. So, if you can teach children, you can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I decided to open my own studio. And I opened a studio down the road called Doodles. And started teaching art classes there, mostly homeschoolers, some adults, and... Oh.
Great, great. So so with Doodles, are you open during the week or weekends? Or
I actually don't own Doodles anymore. I changed my business name to Canvas Cafe. And what had happened is after a little break, having an unexpected baby, after almost a decade of not having babies, I decided to move out of my studio space and become a traveling art instructor. And it kind of just morphed into Canvas Cafe.
Okay. So explain more about Canvas Cafe. What do you do and how do you attend a Canvas Cafe party?
Well, I have classes around the valley. I go into cafes, businesses, homes, and I I put on a party. So it's basically an informal, fun introduction to painting. And everybody gets a canvas, everybody gets paint, and all the supplies are provided. And I walk everybody through a particular painting.
Okay, so is this acrylic or watercolor?
It's acrylic, and I chose acrylic because it dries fast, it's easy to work with, and it's fun. I love acrylics.
Oh, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited I'm looking forward to taking a class with you.
You should.
So how do you go about signing up for a class?
So if you go to the canvascafe.blogspot.com, you can read everything that you need to know about my business, my history, anything you need to know, you can find on there. There's a calendar, and if you click on a particular day, it'll tell you the painting that we're going to do, and you can register and pay right there online.
Oh, that's just awesome. Mm-hmm. So you were telling me that you had a contest going on right now.
I told all of my fans that once I hit 500 likes, which I'm a few away, that I would pick a person that would get a free party.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, well, and so I had you pick the winner a few minutes ago.
I did. And that person's name was Kristen Morgan.
Kristen Morgan.
Okay.
You're the winner.
Great.
So Kristen can pick a class that she wants to attend, a public painting event. And I have one on the 3rd. Okay. At the Matsu Animal Shelter, that's family friendly, and one at Hacienda's Mexican Restaurant in Wasilla on the 6th of June. And so she can choose one of those, or I have classes this summer at Espresso Cafe and a few others.
Okay, and where is Espresso Cafe located?
Espresso Cafe is across from Walmart in Wasilla.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about now. So let's take a step back. So were you born in Alaska or did you move here?
I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I have a ton of family here. I was born in Anchorage and still here.
Well, that's great.
Well, I was just going to add that along with my when I first started doodles, mm-hmm. I began painting as a live painter around the valley. And so I would paint with a team of artists live on big 4-foot by 8-foot Masonite boards or canvas, and we'd paint in front of big conferences. And so I traveled around for about a year and a half with the team of artists, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. That would be so much fun to see that and to watch it. Do they still carry on doing that?
We don't as a team, but each of the artists that was involved with the team, they're still doing their own thing, and they're very successful.
Okay. Are they local in the Valley?
They are. Oh. So one of them, her name is Tina Fisher, and she owns Upper Room Arts.
Okay.
And the other one is Jamie Bottoms, and she is teaching children as well.
Great. Well, maybe we can have them on the show also.
That would be great.
Okay, Victoria, can you tell me a little bit more about when you transitioned from doodles to being a traveling artist?
Yeah, so I took a little bit of a break. I became a traveling artist and did a lot of classes at Matsu Central School, did some home parties. And in the middle of all that, I got pregnant with twins. And in my second trimester, I ended up losing my twin girls. And so went through just a really, really hard, hard season. Very depressed. Mm-hmm. And art really kind of got me through. So I started painting my own pieces that were different from anything mm-hmm. I'd ever done. Just filled with emotion, and I just poured all of my emotion into those pieces. And then one of my friends actually, for her new year, she decided that she would pick a word to kind of proclaim over 2015. And so I thought, what a great idea. And because I was tired of being depressed over losing my girls. And so I decided that my word was going to be Renaissance. And from that point, it moved very quickly. I decided that I was going to take chance, and I was going to change my name from Doodles to Canvas Cafe and maybe do one party a month. And the chance really paid off, and I'm busy almost every weekend going into homes and cafes and businesses, and it's really kind of been therapy for me.
Well, that's, I mean, it's just amazing how art can heal.
Yes.
In many aspects. And,
yes.
And that's just a, I thank you for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. They're wonderful artists. Right.
Well, thank you for coming in today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to visit with us and share a little bit of your journey.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, thanks, Dave, for coming in this evening. I really appreciate you stopping by.
Well, thank you.
So could you go ahead and introduce yourself and give us a little history about what your journey's been about?
Well, I'll start out. I was born in a Quonset hut on Elmendorf Air Force Base. And pretty much it's...
not that many
that's
people...
That's where I live.
Yeah, not that many people can say that they were born in a Quonset hut on Elmendorf Base.
Well, I've wondered I've wondered for years who the Quonset people were and, you know, why they left huts all over the world. I've been looking for them ever since. It's the tribe of the lost Quonset.
Oh, yes. Well, as you can see, we love Dave's humor. So tell us, Dave, who inspired you to play music or who taught you? And
well, I clearly remember seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. And that was probably the pivotal moment, other than when I was 10, my dad brought a guitar, who was a music teacher, by the way, taught at the University of Oregon for many years in high school in California, Oregon, taught high schools when I was real young. But when I was 10, he brought home a guitar, and he asked me to get it out of the car, take it into his office, and put it in the corner, and never, ever, under any circumstances, do not touch that guitar. Am I clear? And that's pretty much the first and last lesson he ever gave me. And that was the motivation. Don't touch that.
So, of course, you did.
Yeah.
And now you've become the musician that you are today. So that's,
well,
that's pretty awesome.
Thank you. I don't know. Musician is a quite a lofty term. I just kind of make stuff up and almost remember it the same way.
Okay. So I know in the past that you've had bands.
Yeah, I've had.
And you've been around the state.
Yeah, I've played from Nome to Ketchikan.
So
literally.
What's one of your most memorable places that you've played?
Well, see, if I mention one and not the other. I mean, let me tell you, the roadside of Alaska has some real unique, not only the landscape, as it were, but the people are as unique. And I've slept in places that were anything from, like, you know, plywood with no windows, you know, lots of mosquitoes, to top floor of the baggage towers in Whittier. People in Alaska seem to take care of some musicians, although I see the roadside's changing. You know, we're kind of going through some of the older roadhouses that I used to play, like Sheep Creek Lodge isn't in business anymore, Big Sioux Lodge.
Well, but, yeah. Well, that's kind of why we're here doing this show, so that people can learn about others' journeys and how they've, created their art. Form. And so I know that I don't know what you're going to play today, but you're going to play us a piece, right?
Yes. I don't know either. It depends on are you looking for something that, you know, like I say, I can't really, I read music, but it's you know.
Not, well, I know that you also do original.
Yeah, and that's probably, I'd like to play something like that.
And I would love for you to play an original piece that you've put together.
Okay. It's, I'm Alaskan born. I'm a guitarist first, I think. I write songs secondly. And, you know, singing is probably my third in the line of those things for me. So I try to piece together songs that are musically not conventional. Like, instead of like verse, chorus, verse, verse, chorus, or and a bridge, it's like I wrote a song with, you know, two bridges and a chorus.
But that's
there's
what
no
makes
verse
you,
to it.
That's what makes you Dave.
So. I guess so. So, yeah, just things to puzzle out.
Okay.
So you want to do that now? Or
sure, go or, right ahead.
Okay, well, by the way, I want to thank all my friends who got me here. And, I mean, literally today, I had to bum some rides from three different people I know, starting in Anchorage, switched off on the highway. And then, of course, Josh for letting me borrow this nice old Martin.
Well, thank you for making that effort for us.
Anything you get out of working on a semi-truck motor? Well, how long will this go on, and how long must I stay strong, and how long will she be gone this time? Oh yeah, and succession of girlfriends for teaching me about heartache. First time I was offended. Second time I was amused. Third time I just pretended that I wasn't being used. Had no questions, sought no answers, sought no agenda, had no clue. Warm breeze that blows in my direction. Some people said I was a fool. So how long must this go on, and how long must I stay strong, and how long will she be gone this time? This time. This time.
That's great. Thanks. You so much.
Thank
girls.
You.
So, girls breaking your heart.
Oh, don't even go there. They all break my heart. No. See it right out there? It's right out there on my sleeve. So all they got to do is just grab it and, you know, squeeze it, tear it.
Right. But I know you said you have some pretty awesome girls in your life. Those daughters of yours.
I have some lovely daughters who I had the distinct privilege, now I realize, especially after they're grown and married themselves, that, yeah, it was a real privilege, and they have turned out to be wonderful women. One teaches school, the other one cuts hair. She's got some kids. Her and her husband have their own business. They bought me a house in Oregon, which I stubbornly have refused to go to for the last year. I don't know what's wrong with me. Well,
it's Alaskan not, summers.
That's it.
It's the Alaskan
summer. And now it's summer
summers.
Again, yeah, so. Sorry, girls. I do love you.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. We really appreciate you coming in today. And just shows what our show's about, art in the valley.
Well, thank you so much. And I wish this community in the valley all the best. It's always been good to me, especially, you know, the last 30 years. I've really grown to appreciate what's here.
Well, great. Thanks again.
All right, with our segment of Faces, Places, Sounds, and Things, this segment is going to be about upcoming events in the Valley. My disclaimer is this no way the entire list of events, nor is it a paid advertisement. If you have an event and would like to share, please contact me on Facebook, Art in the Valley. The Willow Art Studio Tour starts on Saturday. Fireside Books is having book signings this weekend. The 41st Annual Alaska Watercolorist Exhibition sign-up deadline is this weekend. And then, of course, we have a show at the Dorothy Page Museum with Greg Gussie, Hider to Dead Horse and Boundary to Whales. It's a few of my favorite images from the 15 years on the last frontier. And that will that show runs until July 2nd. And Dorothy Page is open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and Fridays are always free. Then upcoming, we have the Family Day at the Matsu Animal Shelter. There will be some art events there, and that will be June 3rd. So until next week, go out, enjoy life, be creative in your own way.
Since we have time for another song from Dave, I'm going to ask you to close out the show. So.
My privilege, thank you. Usually I play this with an electric guitar really fast and loud, so this would be like cool. I was riding shotgun with a longtime friend of mine. He said he needed help with a vacation, so that was what just fine. Then she stepped off the plane, said her name was Summer Rain, but I already knew her twice as Mabel. She did not know that I was such an outlaw. As we headed for that Mason-Dixon line, she said, "Don't be a fool, everything is cool. I'll meet you in Miami, you'll be fine." I could not even tell if she was lying. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Then we headed down to Nashville in a rental car and all. I got that hotel room, had a stock bar. We were cool, cool, cool. Well, we met up with a man. He said his name was Stan, but I never did believe that that was true. Well, they did not know that I was such an outlaw. As we headed for Nogales in that van, said, "You best believe my name is Steve, and you'll get out of here with 80 grand. Well, I knew right then I should have ran. Should have got out of there. Thank you. She did not know that I was searching out love. As we headed for that Mason-Dixon line. And then she said, believe, my name is Steve. And maybe you'll get out of here alive. Either way, I knew I'd be doing time. That goes out to B.B. King. Thank you.